Welcome to Spotlight on the Word, a general introduction to the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible is a book by God and about the relationship He wants to have with every one of us. The theme of the Bible is the salvation of man to the glory of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And each of the 66 books that make up the Bible tell us that Jesus is coming to save, that Jesus has come, and that He is coming again so that we can forever be with God. In this particular study, we're going to focus on the book of Jeremiah. It's important to look at Isaiah and to keep in mind that a key word for Isaiah is salvation. You get to Jeremiah, a key word is covenant. Because the people had broken the covenant, God speaks of the time when a new covenant would be ushered in. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. A passage that is quoted in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 13, and the New Testament has come. A better covenant with a better hope, Hebrews 8 and verse 6. When you get to the book of Lamentations, the book that follows Jeremiah, it has to do with judgment. Salvation, covenant, judgment. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Jeremiah would live to see a country that he loved greatly, a city that he loved much, Jerusalem, and the temple of God. He would live to see those things destroyed because of sin and disobedience. If ever there were a book in the Old Testament that illustrated that God is patient and long-suffering, but that God will deal with sin, it is the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesied about 60 years after the time of Isaiah. And his ministry is approximately 40 years in duration. We're talking about roughly 626 BC to 586 BC when Jerusalem and Judah fell to the Babylonians. At this particular time in history, the Egyptians, the Assyrians, and the Babylonians were all world powers. And because of the sin over the centuries of God's people, Judah, God indicates that they would go into captivity. In studying the book of Jeremiah, it's important to notice some of the key words because the key words provide something of a framework for understanding the overall message. One key word in the book of Jeremiah is the word backslidden. To backslide. It's found at least 13 times in the 52 chapters that make up Jeremiah. To backslide is to go the opposite direction from what God would have us. And Judah, though God's people had been doing this over and over, they were now backslidden. And not only were they backslidden, but there's another expression, forsaken. Not only were they backslidden, but they had forsaken the Lord and His will. This expression occurs some 24 times in the book of Jeremiah. But consider this expression, a third one, the idea of captivity. Because the people were backslidden and had forsaken God and His way, they would go into captivity. And Jeremiah over 50 times mentions the possibility and then ultimately the reality of the captivity that would come as God worked through the Babylonians. And then there is another expression so very crucial to appreciating the book of Jeremiah to the fullest. The word of the Lord. Look at all the times in this book that mention is made of how the word of the Lord had come. God's word was what Jeremiah was speaking. Some 150 times in this one book, there is an emphasis on the word of God. So while God is patient and long-suffering, when people backslide, when people forsake the Lord and His way, there can be times of difficulty and times of sin that will have to be dealt with. When you look at Jeremiah, he is one of the most colorful, one of the most vivid characters, personalities in all of the Old Testament. He is a master wordsmith. He has the ability to act through symbols and to convey great truths that God wants him to get across. In many ways, like Jesus, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53 and verse 3. Because you see, just a few of the instances that you look at in the book of Jeremiah will indicate that he suffered much for the message that he proclaimed. In Jeremiah chapter 16, God commands him not to marry. We'll see why when we look at the introduction to this book in chapter 1. And as we go on, we see in chapter 20 of Jeremiah how that this man was taken and beaten and placed in stocks. We see in Jeremiah 26 how that he is assaulted and threatened. We see in Jeremiah chapter 36 how the king, Jehoiakim, takes a message from God that had been penned by Jeremiah, and he takes a penknife and tears it to shreds and throws it in the fire. That's what they thought of the message. They didn't think very much of the messenger, Jeremiah, either. In Jeremiah chapter 38, he is thrown into a muddy cistern and left to rot. But he is rescued. When you look at Jeremiah, perhaps no prophet suffered more for the message that he proclaimed. And when Jesus walked the face of the earth in Matthew 16, 13 through 19, he would ask the question, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And the apostles responded, "Some say you're John the Baptizer, some Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets." So when we look at the life of Jeremiah, he is indeed the weeping prophet, Jeremiah 9:1, because he has to proclaim a message that people, for the most part, absolutely, stubbornly refuse to hear. Let's look at some key verses in the book of Jeremiah. And as we do this, they'll help us see some things. But first, I'm going to give you a simple outline of this book. It is somewhat difficult to outline because it's not strictly chronological. When you look at Jeremiah chapter 1, you have the call and commission of Jeremiah. That's Jeremiah chapter 1, the call and commission of Jeremiah. But then notice Jeremiah chapters 2 through 33. Jeremiah chapters 2 through 33. And what we're dealing with here, my friends, is this: a message to Judah. A message to Judah. Maybe they could change their ways. Maybe they would return to God. Maybe they would amend their ways. But the message of Jeremiah, the message of God through Jeremiah, goes almost completely unheeded. As we keep looking in chapters 34 through 39, Jeremiah chapters 34 through 39, we have the destruction of Jerusalem and Judah. We also read about this in 2 Kings chapter 25 and 2 Chronicles chapter 36. As we keep reading in this section, Jeremiah chapters 40 through 45 deal with the aftermath of the destruction of Jerusalem and Judah. And then in 46 through 51, there is a message of God to the nations about. And it's interesting especially that Babylon, who would conquer Judah and Jerusalem, that God addresses Babylon in Jeremiah 50 and 51. But then in Jeremiah 52, there is a historical appendix about the fall of Judah and Jerusalem. Here's a few verses that are great passages to keep in mind when studying the book of Jeremiah. And momentarily, we'll focus just briefly on the book of Lamentations. Look, if you would, in your Bible at Jeremiah 1, verse 10. Here's one of the reasons why Jeremiah had such a hard time, why he suffered so much. His message was about pulling up It was about tearing down. It was about destroying and overthrowing. It was a message about planting and a message about building. Out of those six expressions in Jeremiah 1 and verse 10, four of them can be construed, can be understood as being quite negative. We are to preach the whole counsel of God, Acts 20 and verse 27. We are not to shrink or hold back from declaring anything that is profitable and right, Acts 20 and verse 20. We are to proclaim the word, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. We are to do it at all times, in bad times, and to the end of time. And for 40 or so years, that's the kind of message that Jeremiah proclaimed. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. Two evils God speaks of in Jeremiah 2 and verse 13. One is this: they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And the second is this: they have hewn out for themselves broken cisterns, cisterns that can hold no water. When God is left out as the preeminent one, as the one above and beyond all things, as the one who we want to love with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Mark 12 and verse 30, when God is left out, broken cisterns that hold no water, that's what follows. When you look at Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 25, people should have been covered with shame and dishonor. They should have been covered with shame and dishonor, but they weren't. They weren't covered with shame and dishonor at all. They refused to obey the word of the Lord. They did not hearken to the Lord of hosts. As we keep looking at the book of Jeremiah, consider Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. It provides an interesting point. When the prophets and the priests go astray, when they forsake the Lord, when they backslide, so will the people. So you look at Jeremiah 5, 30 and 31. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests go their own direction. And the people love to have it so. Oh, how important it is to preach the truth, to speak the truth at all times, but to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, and with great boldness. When they perceived the boldness of Peter and John, they understood that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, Acts 4 and verse 13. Can people tell we've been with God? Do we speak as God would have us? If any man would speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. As we continue looking at this book, look at Jeremiah chapter 6 and especially verses 13 through 16. Jeremiah 6, 13 through 16. As we consider this, the idea is from the least to the greatest, the people were running after, they were greedy for unjust gain. The Lord taught, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things he possesses." Luke 12 and verse 15. The priests, the prophets together were saying, "Peace, peace, when there is no peace." Jeremiah 6, 14, "Only when there is peace with God," Romans 5, 1, and Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, can there really be peace. And when you think about Jeremiah chapter 6 and note verse 15, the people had committed abomination, awful, hideous, terrible sin. And the Bible indicates neither were they ashamed, neither did they know how to blush. It sounds so much like much of society today. They commit abomination, and yet they cannot be ashamed, and they don't know how to blush. As we continue, look at Jeremiah chapter 9 and verses 23 and 24. "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he knows and understands me, that I am the Lord of hosts, that God is the one who exercises loving kindness. God delights in such people. There is nothing in this world more important than knowing God and His saving will through Jesus. John 17 and verse 3. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, when the Lord returns, He will punish those who know not God and have not obeyed the gospel. Do you know Jesus and His gospel? Have you obeyed the soul-saving message of truth? In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, there's a marvelous passage. The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. What Jeremiah is trying to do for a period of some 40 years is get Judah to turn around. But the message again is largely unheeded. The way of man's not in himself. It's not in man who walks to direct his steps. We were made by a God who loves us and who longs to have a relationship with us. As we continue going through the book of Jeremiah, consider this passage, Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. This is a marvelous prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, one who would come, who would be of the lineage of David, according to Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6, and he would reign as king. He would be secure, the security that his people really needed. His name would be called the Lord, our righteousness. It's a marvelous passage to keep in mind, and you might even jot down 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16, when God made a promise that through the line of David one would come whose kingdom would never end. And Jesus is that one. Hebrews 12, 28, Matthew 16, and verse 18. As we continue looking in Jeremiah 23, it's good to notice verse 29. My word is a fire. Is not my word like a fire? God asked. Is it not like a hammer that can break the rock into pieces? Oh, God's word can penetrate the heart, can touch people's souls, and can transform people's lives. Jehoiakim, again in chapter 36 of this book, may have thought that he could destroy the message, but the word of the Lord lives and abides forever. That's what 1 Peter 1, 23 through 25 says. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Matthew 24 and verse 35. Oh, friends, turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. In this passage, a new covenant is prophesied, that a new covenant would come. The idea that this covenant, this testament, this relationship would be written in the minds and hearts of people. In that this passage is specifically quoted at length in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 8, verses 6 through 13, we may confidently affirm that the Old Testament has been done away. The Old Testament is not for our law, but it is for our learning. Romans 15, 4, the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Jesus took away the first, the old, that he might establish the second, the new. Hebrews 10, verses 9 and 10. And today we live under a better covenant, enacted with better promises. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. So by Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, jot down passages like 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul, certainly a great student of the Old Testament, talks about how the Old Testament has been done away because of Jesus and what he's done at the cross, and jot down the book of Hebrews, especially Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 13, and Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. So when we look at this book of Jeremiah, The idea is God is patient and long-suffering, but God will most assuredly deal with sin. Sin will not go unpunished. Oh, how people need to have softened hearts and to repent. Now we come to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations was written about 586 BC. It concerns the destruction of Jerusalem and Judah by the Babylonians. It is a book consisting of but five chapters, and each chapter contains a funeral dirge, an acrostic, where you go from one letter of the alphabet in Hebrew to the next. It is a magnificent piece of literature. Five songs concerning the death of Jerusalem and a nation, Judah. That's really what this book is about. And a key verse would be Lamentations 1, verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? If you notice in your translation of God's Word, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4, and chapter 5 each consist of 22 verses. That's how many letters there are in the Hebrew alphabet. But you get to chapter 3, the middle chapter, it consists of 66 verses, three times the normal number. We'll look here at chapter 1. And in Lamentations, to lament, a funeral song, a song of grief, of sorrow, of pain, of anguish. What we have in Lamentations chapter 1 is the city of Jerusalem speaking. Lonely and desolate. Lonely and desolate. The city speaks. Then we come to Lamentations chapter 2. And here's how we can break the book down at this point. God speaks. The city of Jerusalem speaks in desolation and loneliness in chapter 1, but God speaks in judgment and in wrath and anger in chapter 2. These things occurred because of a prolonged time of sin and hardness of heart where people were stubborn and were determined to walk in the imaginations of their evil hearts rather than to look to God and His way. Also, when you look at the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, God speaks in chapter 2, but the prophet speaks in chapter 3. The prophet speaks, and he speaks with tears and with heartache. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, weeps over the city and weeps over the calamity that has occurred in this book in Lamentations chapter 3. He speaks. In Lamentations chapter 4, the possessions speak. What a marvelous variety of ways God uses figures of speech, metaphor, simile, all kinds of figures of speech to convey the marvelous truth that's to be found in Him. And in Lamentations chapter 4, the possessions speak. They speak and they are empty and unsatisfying. Remember the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Oh, if these people, the people of Judah, would have thought more seriously about that type of truth during their own time. Then we come to Lamentations chapter 5. The captives speak. They are now a nation in captivity to Babylon, and the captives speak. And they speak out, and they are hungry and hurting. So again, as we look at this book, in Lamentations chapter 1, the city speaks. In Lamentations chapter 2, God speaks. In Lamentations chapter 3, the prophets speak. And then in Lamentations chapter 4, possessions speak. And in Lamentations chapter 5, the captives speak in their hunger, in their needs. They cry out to God. A key passage in Lamentations is Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 25. Because when we look at books like Jeremiah and Lamentations and we see that God does indeed deal with sin, He's hurt and offended by inappropriate behavior, by actions that are not right, we must always keep in mind that God is good and patient and long-suffering. Yet He will act because He is also holy. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. So when we think about our holy God, we can be confident that He will act in loving kindness. In Lamentations chapter 3, 22 through 25, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. The Lord is good to those who keep His word. You that love the Lord, hate evil. Psalm 97 and verse 10. And we cannot love God passionately and completely without developing a greater hatred for sin, because sin separates man from God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. So Isaiah, a book that stresses salvation, Jeremiah, a book that emphasizes the covenant, how that it had been broken and broken repeatedly, but a time would come when a new covenant would come that was better, that was superior in every way, even to the great Old Testament under which the Jews had lived. And then Lamentations, the judgment of God. How important it is that all of us look to God for salvation, that we keep His covenant, His will, His commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said, John 14 and verse 15, and that we look forward to the truth that judgment is coming. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Thank you so very much for viewing this program, and may God bless you as you shine the spotlight on His precious word.